Hey, what's up? Sedano and LZ with you here on 710 ESPN. And it is Wednesday, so that means Mama Momo's in the house. Hello, Momo.
Hey, this is kind of fun. It's like in the evening now.
Yeah.
I used to like start my day that way with George. And for me, that was starting my day at 10 a.m. I don't know what it's like for you, LZ. Show was on so early, I might as well stay up at night, you know?
Well, today was a good day, Momo, for me not to be on at 6 a.m. because I was still pretty heated when I got up after last night's game. And I started drinking Snoop's wine. Snoop has a wine with 19 crimes. And I bought some and I posted on Instagram and started drinking it because I had to take the edge off.
Well, it's funny because Snoop actually had a funny thing on Instagram. He had like a post of Danny Green. And on Danny Green's jersey, it said, I don't remember what it was that he had on that Danny Green has on his jersey. But either way, he posted a picture of Danny Green's jersey. Danny Green's message, obviously, which is very serious, is how many more? And then Snoop added inside of that, in between how many more and the number 14, uh-huh, bleeping threes am I going to miss? So, you may have been drinking Snoop's wine. Snoop may have had a couple of those bottles of wine, too, last night, LZ. So let's start here. The Lakers obviously lose. Are we sounding the panic alarm here, or are we doing the Aaron Rodgers of relax? LZ, we'll start with you. Where are you on this? If we're doing from a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most worried, 1 being not worried at all, where are you on the spectrum of panic and relaxed?
Well, I'm not panicked by any stretch because this is what I anticipated. You know, I know a lot of people are focused in on the seeding. They shouldn't be. They should be focused in on what Portland is. Portland is a team that was in the Western Conference Finals just a season ago, a team that pretty much over the last 4 to 5 seasons has only lost to the Golden State Warriors, and a team that got healthy at the right time, but had they been healthy the entire season, might have actually been a 2 or a 3 seed and not an 8 seed. So I ask you, if a 2 seed wins game 1 against a 1 seed in the Western Conference Finals, we're not shocked or surprised. So we're only acting this way because of the seeding. So I'm suggesting what I've actually been suggesting for months is that we ignore those little numbers next to the team and look at the ballers and the teams themselves, because that'll tell you for sure what the series is going to look like, not the seeding.
Momo?
Yeah, look, I am not in one of those rages or panics. I'm more like everybody I talked to in and around the Lakers, you know, last night, like right after the game, you sent a bunch of text messages to people. What do you think? Are they in trouble? Everybody was chill. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, because part of my reaction from that game was, okay, at least that should get your attention now. Like this idea of flipping the switch and we're going to go and everything's going to be fine. Like we've been sitting, hanging out at Disney World and playing Madden in our rooms for the first couple of weeks. Like, you know, this is like, you just got punched in the face. So are you going to react now? Are you going to fight yet? I think it's good when they're calm because they at least aren't going to panic, but they need a little light, a little fire. And I think there's two ways to look at this, George. One is they were historically bad shooting. Okay. Mm-hmm. They 5 for 32 from three. LZ, you could go 5 for 32 from three. You could.
I couldn't, girl. No.
You could. Five for 32.
This one over here would have stopped shooting them threes once I realized I wasn't making them, and I got Anthony Davis.
You know what LZ?
Let me show you another one. Okay. 7 for 26 in transition. Do you know how bad that is? That's like transition buckets that you should make. Those are layups.
Yeah.
That is the worst performance of any team since they started keeping that stat 7 years ago. Okay.
Wow.
So the worst. Okay.
But you know why? Because it's tied to what you said originally, which was about the 3-point shooting. So many of their breaks was about guys flying out on the wing trying to get threes as opposed to filling the lanes for those layups, to your point.
So there is two ways to look at this. If you are a happy, optimistic person, like I generally tend to be a happy, optimistic person, right? Like, and when I'm here on Wednesday, and it's we're supposed to, this is our hump day, okay, everybody. This is booty day. We get over the hump here.
It is booty day. LZ is not familiar with booty day, though. No. We gotta get him up to speed on that a little bit.
Oh, you better speak for yourself, bro.
So, as terrible as the Lakers were, yes. Like they couldn't hit the broadside of a barn, okay. I mean, that was one of the worst shooting performances you've seen from a playoff team in history. They only lost by 7. that's not bad. I mean, there's another way to look at it. Are you buying it?
Right.
I mean,
well, no, I'm not buying it. And this is why. What did the Portland Trailblazers shoot? They shot less than 40% themselves.
Correct.
So they did not play a good game. Dame did not go off,
by the way.
He didn't go off. CJ didn't go off. I think CJ was 8 of 20. He didn't go off.
Yeah, CJ wasn't great, yeah.
He didn't go off. He was solid. Dame was solid and hit bit shots at the end, but those guys didn't go off. Nurkic didn't go off. None of the Blazers really went off. They shot less than 40% from the field. They went up by 16 against the number one seed. Come on now.
This reminds me of like in when you have a team, same thing in the NFL this year, the Baltimore Ravens, the best team in football, Lamar Jackson, MVP, killing people all year long. They have a week off. They get a little complacent. The wild card goes in there. They've won a game. They got some momentum and they just knock them in the teeth the first game. Now in football, you only get one shot. You only get one shot, right? But this is like, okay, you got punched in the teeth, you're in a fight now, and you better do better. So, I think it's good you have a 7-game series here. There's time, and I think whatever playoff energy and aggression they need to find, game two for me is the one where I'm going to say, all right, if they can't find it game two, then they're really in trouble.
Then it goes up. So give me a number, LZ. You didn't give me a number.
What number do you want there, George?
Whichever one makes you feel most comfortable, LZ, from 1 to 10.
In terms of my panic situation?
Correct.
I'm not panicked. I don't want to describe it as panic.
Okay, you don't have to describe it as panic. Only if you're a 10, you're at a panic, is what I'm saying. Like, there is a scale to this, hence the question.
Okay, so I would say right now, my number hasn't changed. I came in at a 7. I'm going to say I'm still at a 7.
Okay, you're at a 7. That's high.
Oh, you came in at a 7.
I came in as a 7 because I see them the same way I see the Clippers, a legitimate threat. I don't see them as an 8 seed. Mm. I see them as a legitimate threat.
I do too. I'm like at a 2. I mean, I just think this year is so different than any other year. This is what we saw in European soccer. When they came back and there were no fans and there was no home court advantage, you saw all sorts of upsets. You saw all sorts of games that played out way differently than you would have expected to. And we're going to see that all throughout these NBA playoffs. Like, and you saw Milwaukee get bit by that yesterday. You saw the Lakers get bit by that. I mean, all us NBA experts, when they ask us to give our predictions, George, do you do that too?
Yeah.
Like, we're all so lame. We went chalk. Everybody went. Like, literally every series is chalk, the higher seed we picked. I mean, that's not going to happen. I guarantee you there are going to be upsets in this because there's no home court advantage. And this is just a strange season where people are missing and people are trying to find their legs. And, there was this – they asked Giannis what's wrong with the Bucks and sort of why they haven't been able to find it when they've been in the bubble. And he gave some answer about – yeah, it's just different when you're away from home and, when you don't get to go home and sleep in your own bed and watch a movie and you're not comfortable. And I was like, wait, what? Is that what we're thinking about? Is that what we're thinking about as the playoffs are going on? Like, this is...
Well, I find the Milwaukee situation different because Orlando's legit 8 seed.
Yeah.
Like, they're a legit 8 seed.
And they don't even have their best players.
Exactly. And they just had, they had some hot shooting. Chris Middleton, who is a 50-40-90 guy, had an unusually bad shooting night. But I don't worry about the Bucks because I know what Orlando is. Mm-hmm. I worry about the Lakers because I know what Portland is. I know what they can do. We all know what they can do. Not just Dame, but the team.
Okay.
And just as I said, Sedano, I told you about Carmelo, big three. Told you about CJ, big second half. Told you about freaking Gary Trent Jr., the clincher, three. They have guys on their squad besides just Dame who are legit killers on that team that can hurt the Lakers.
LZ, I understand all that. But Carmelo Anthony was trash literally until that last shot in that game. CJ McCollum was brutal in the first half. You're right, he was excellent in the second half of the game, particularly in the third quarter. But my point is this. All the things to Ramona's point, which is why I'm at a four, all the things that the Lakers did to themselves, to me, were a bigger issue than what the Blazers did to the Lakers. Mm-hmm. The Blazers are not a good defensive team. And the Lakers, to Ramona's point, shot 5 of 32, 16.5% from three. Okay, they were terrible in transition. And at the end of the day, now, LZ, I do think you were onto something a little earlier when you talked about the Terry Stotts thing when it came to LeBron. But I don't think that was what LeBron did. I don't think he was just doing he out Jedi mind tricked himself. What I think is LeBron is seeing a lane that is clogged, right? And he sees Yusuf Nurkic in there, and he sees Hassan Whiteside in there, and he sees them literally packing the paint. It's what Anthony Davis told Chris Haynes. Chris Haynes of Yahoo Sports literally tweeted this less than an hour ago. Anthony Davis to Yahoo Sports. Guys are sinking in the paint and daring us to make shots, and now we're not doing that. It's just making it tough on everybody, and this was him discussing how they're shooting themselves out of games and they're collapsing right now. What they need is this. They need those guys to make shots, which they made at a respectable clip most of the season. It's not like the Lakers were this three-point juggernaut. They were the 21st ranked three-point shooting team in the league, but enough where you had to respect it, which meant open lanes for LeBron and AD. Okay? Then beyond that, Anthony Davis, I've been saying this, and Ramona's heard me before, you got to put your big boy pants on. Mm-hmm. You got to go small. Okay, which means you have to play the five. That's how you get the lane unclogged, by having Yusuf Nurkic or Hassan Whiteside, or if Zach Collins plays, right, out there trying to guard you on the perimeter, which is a fait accompli, right? Like, that's not happening. They're not going to be able to stay with you in that situation, which then allows LeBron to be more aggressive. The other problem I think they have is a coaching situation. Frank Vogel. Like, at what point do you realize, hey, man, I've got guys that are rolling right now with Kuz and Caruso, and then you pull them after you get the 6-point lead for DG and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, specifically the latter, who has stunk, right, for a long time now. Like, you got to ride the hot hand sometimes. And again, at what point do you make adjustments and say to yourself, I need someone in there that can help initiate offense? Whether that's Rondo maybe coming back in the next game, maybe giving Deion Waiters a few more minutes here or there, because LeBron can't carry the entire load as far as distribution. He's never had to do that at any other point in his career, and that has been a successful formula for him.
Well, I would first challenge the notion that Carmelo was trash yesterday. He didn't shoot the ball well, that's true, but he sure blocked the hell out of Anthony Davis and Kyle Kuzma trying to go in for layups. He sure finished with 10 boards. Hit a big three, play defense to the point in which they had to commentate and joke that they're going to put together footage of a mixtape of Carmelo Anthony playing great defense all last night, moving his feet, keeping LeBron from getting to his spots. So, no, he didn't shoot the ball well, but he wasn't trash. He balled out.
I disagree completely, but go ahead.
Well, okay, you can disagree, but I mean,
George, I gotta. This is your show, okay? So I have to ask you whether I should do this or not. Okay.
It's Sedano and LZ, so you can ask me too. Okay.
No. But she means like our show, like not her show. Yeah. Yes.
Your show, okay. You and LZ. Okay. So I have a stat that is going to make LZ angry, like really angry. Do I do that to him right now? Like, I feel like we were calming him down, and I feel like we were soothing people here. But if I say this to him, he might just start throwing things. Should I do it now?
Okay. Yes. Wait. Save it. Because we've been talking about the level of concern, right?
Yeah.
We've been talking about the level of concern. So I want to get to that in a second, right? Because Dave McMiniman was on SportsCenter yesterday and was asked that very mm-hmm. same question. Actually, check that. He was on Keyshawn's new show this morning, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. And here's what Dave McMiniman had to say about how concerned – the Lakers should be.
In a normal series, if you are the home team and you lose game one, you're looking at game three on the road, and you're like, oh man, if I lose game two, like, we're going to go to their place for game three. It lights out. There is no their place. There is no our place. It's a neutral place. So I think it would be a bad sign that should they lose game two, now all of a sudden the Lakers are 3-7 in the bubble. The Blazers are 9-2 in the bubble. And at that point, you would have to win 4 out of 5 against a team that's 9-2. It's probably not going to happen. At the same time, there isn't the threat of, you know, having to travel and having to deal with an adverse hostile environment. So I don't know. It could happen. It's a wacky place down here. But certainly at some point, either they're going to find the type of basketball that they played that led them to number one seed in the Western Conference, or they're not.
All right. So LZ, what do you make of what Dave had to say?
Well, I mean, listen, obviously he's right. There's no travel. There's no true home court advantage. Unless you want to talk about playing, you know, too short after you make a big three, then I guess that would be a home court advantage. But other than that, there isn't one. And I totally get that we need to look at this through that lens of being in a bubble. But I am just more focused in on the fact that this is really a Western Conference final matchup and not a first round matchup. And this needs to be looked at with this vision, that the team they're facing could have and maybe would have finished as high as second, if not first, in the Western Conference, depending upon how the rest of the season had played out, if they were healthy. And it needs to be talked about through that lens. We need to get rid of, oh, we lose home court advantage. Oh, we got to go face the AC. Get rid of all of that, because none of that matters. This team, this is a Western Conference Finals caliber team. We lost the first game in the Western Conference Finals. We need to be in panic mode, regardless of where that game is being played. Because that team in Portland, led by that dude from Oakland, they're not worried about you being the one seed. Clearly. They weren't worried about us mourning Kobe. They're not worried about us being the one seed. They keep smacking us in the mouth, and we keep saying, yeah, but we're going to flip a switch. No, dog. We need to ball out. We can't do what we did with the final 30 seconds of game one, which is give the hell up.
Right.
Only down 5.
No, that
5.
Was ridiculous. That was
only
ridiculous.
Down 5.
Ramona, were you surprised that they – I mean, they had a chance to foul
weird.
There and at least extend the game.
Yeah.
It was very strange.
Yeah, and then there was the defensive miscommunication where, like, LeBron's yelling at Kuz and Kuz is yelling at AD, and they just didn't look right. I mean, look, I think they made Portland look better than they are. You know,
yes.
Portland, there was – you know, Portland is, like, one of the worst defensive teams in the league this year.
Yes.
They got Nurkic back, and he's better. Okay, he's really helped them, but they're still not good. And the Lakers were the first. Okay, the last time the Portland held a team under 100 was like 37 games ago. like their defense is so bad, they make you look good. So you're set up. The Lakers were set up yesterday with going against a bad defensive team to make them look good, and they managed to somehow make Portland look like a good defensive team. Now, Zach Collins had there was an injury update on him today. He is out right now and is going to be evaluated again in a week. So he's missing at least a week here. That hurts them. That hurts them in the front court. Although they still, you know, they have the big guy there. They have Nurkic, who has, you know, obviously only been playing since we got to the bubble. But I mean, I think, like, Portland's a really good team. The Lakers are better. They should show it over the course of a 7-game series. And if you can't win this series, then you don't deserve to be the champ. Like, if you can't get ready to go now, once you've been punched in the mouth, if you weren't already on alert after watching Portland play Brooklyn and Memphis and
right.
all those games where Dame was just killing it, mm-hmm. if you're not on alert until then, I don't know what it's going to take.
I'm with you wholeheartedly. All right, let's continue this discussion on the other side. Let's open it up to some calls at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. What is the real issue, though, with AD? Should Frank Vogel make Ooh. Actual lineup changes going into Game 2? What can LeBron do differently? And, oh boy, there's some fun news about the Dodgers and Major League Baseball. We'll get to all that coming up in just a second. Sedano and LZ with you here on 710 ESPN. Mama Momo hanging out every Wednesday. That will carry over over from the mornings, and she will be here every Wednesday. And right now, there's no better time to have Mama Momo because she gets all the dirt during the playoff time. She's got the text messages rolling up. You sliding into GM's DMs. So there we go. That's what I'm talking about. Real quick, though, before we get into some – you have a great Anthony Davis stat, and we've got some stuff on Kyle Kuzma I want to get to, and we want to get to Vogel. But there is a story in the Wall Street Journal today. It says, quote, men should consume no more than one alcoholic drink a day, according to a federal committee's recommendations. For new U.S. dietary guidelines.
Next topic, George.
LZ.
No.
Like to drink a whole bottle of wine, let alone just one glass of wine.
Well, I'm a grown-ass man, George. Of course I drink a whole bottle of wine myself. I mean, if you start drinking a bottle of wine cooking and then you finish with dessert, that's not being egregious. That's finishing a bottle of wine over 2 hours. That's nothing. That's four drinks.
That's fine.
Come on. It's totally fine.
Okay, I'm just going to be a little prudish right now because I know I've just been trying to lose weight. So that is something that I have cut out of my diet. So because I realized that there is no such thing as just one, right? There's no such thing. And then each glass of wine is like 150 calories. And I don't need to waste 600 calories on four glasses of wine. I don't need to do that.
Well, so go ahead.
It's okay. Sorry. But I think it's like, I think when you're out with friends or you're having if we're quarantining with, whoever's in your pod, if you have a bottle of wine, it doesn't taste better the next day. So you might as well just finish it all off, right?
I want to know who wrote the article. Was it a spouse who was a little bit upset with her husband or his husband?
Yeah.
I mean, was it penned, secretly by Alcoholic Anonymous? Like, who did it?
Yeah. It is in the Wall Street Journal. By the way, alcohol sales have surged 24% since March, just an FYI. Yeah. And it says you're in the study.
You're welcome.
Whatever kind of study you look at, two drinks a day is associated with a higher risk of death than drinking one a day.
Mm. Well, you know what? Good luck.
I can tell you all the reasons that that's true, but I'm going to ignore all of them. The only reason I'm not drinking right now is because I'm trying to lose weight.
Well, we can ignore that, but you got to tell us this AD stat. So we were talking about Anthony Davis and how passive he was, and we're going to get to some of the calls here in a second at 877-710-ESPN. Momo, give us the AD stat that we're all clamoring for.
All right. Well, I went out. This is not like I came up with this myself.
No.
I just had the smart idea to ask the ESPN stats and info people. Who are just they're like magicians. You just like ask stuff and they come out with it. It's amazing. And I go, hey, it feels like Anthony Davis took a lot of shots on the perimeter tonight. How does that compare to what he did at the rim? And the guy writes back, he shot 6 for 9 at the rim and was 2 for 15 everywhere else.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look,
2 for 15.
Momo, if you look at his shot chart, LZ. Everybody's got a hot zone and a cool zone, right? You know what I mean? Like, no matter who you are. And his cool zone is basically the mid-range. Everything in the mid-range is – it's like you literally want him to take those type of shots. And here's the thing. I had this conversation with someone in the league yesterday, and they said to me – and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, LZ, and then Momo, you on the back end. They said to me they're trying to make him Chris Bosh, but as great as Anthony Davis is and as athletic as he is, he's not as pure a shooter as Chris Bosh was. Chris Bosh's mechanics were great. He was fundamentally sound. He was a good mid-range shooter that developed into a good distance shooter as the game evolved. LZ, what do you make of that?
I don't know if that's true. I mean, it's hard to be 85, 86, 87% from the free throw line, to be the team's best free throw shooter, and then me question whether or not you have the mechanics to be a good jump shooter. I think what's happened to Anthony Davis, at least as far as last night was concerned, was that, he has become somewhat of a victim, like a lot of big men, of being seduced with a three-point shot and going away from things that work just as well, may not be as many points, but might be overall more efficient for you in that particular evening. Now, if he's feeling it, then go for it. Whether it's him or DeMarcus Cousins or any of the big guys who can knock down the three, if you're feeling it, then by all means, go for it. But if it's not falling, you don't have to take it because you're talented enough in which you can do other things. And I repeat,
well, here's
the only person that attacked the rim were LeBron and then Caruso with that one dunk. I just saw a whole bunch of guys looking for threes last night.
That's what he's doing, what Portland wants them to do. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I understand the concept of Jusuf Nurkić is a great defender at the rim. Whiteside is a good defender at the rim. So let's spread everybody out and bring Nurkić away from the rim. If Anthony's shooting on the perimeter, then if at least he's playing on the perimeter, then Nurkić has to guard him out there. It pulls him away from the rim and somebody else can attack. We understand this basketball concept. But what are LeBron and Anthony Davis great at? Running a pick and roll with each other.
Yeah, and they don't do enough of it. Yeah, they don't.
Playing in the post. Like those two playing high low, those two in a pick and roll, those two in transition, they are deadly. And Anthony Davis not only, when he's 6-for-9 at the rim, we already know he's going to be better there than he is as outside. But it's not just that he's 2-for-15 everywhere else, it's that he's taking 15 shots everywhere else.
Correct. Let's go to the phones. Du is in Compton. What's up, Du? Hello, sir.
Hey, how you guys doing? Hey, listen. Much love to you, LZ.
What's up, bro?
Can you hear me?
I got you, bro.
Oh, okay. Much love to you and Mama, happy Mother's Day.
Awesome. Cool. He was like searching for something. He was like, happy Wednesday. Happy Mother's Day. Yeah, Mother's Day. We're still within the realm.
I like it. But listen, you guys need to relax. Listen. The Lakers are okay. Remember, Iverson did what he did. What Kobe do? LeBron is a Kobe.
Well, we don't have a Shaq, is what we're complaining about. We need Anthony Davis to be a Shaq.
You have Anthony Davis. But listen,
who won the MVP? Yo, dude, who won MVP of that series?
Listen, you're not in Detroit. You're in L.A.
Who won MVP of that series? It was Shaq.
Okay,
it was Shaq, dog.
That, but who shut down Iverson?
Okay, but what is okay, dude? What is the point to? You're just saying to relax because it's just one game.
Relax because it's one game. Who won the first game in that championship?
Gotcha. No, you're right. That's why I appreciate the call, and it's why I think that I don't think we need to overreact with the panic alarm today. But I do think to LZ's point, there needs to be a healthy concern. Let me go to Oscar in Santa Ana. What's up, Oscar?
Hey, how you doing, Sedano, Momo, and LC? Great to see you guys afternoon.
You
Thank
too.
You, buddy. All good.
What's up, bro?
Oh, yeah. How you doing, guys? So what's the worst case scenario if they go 3-0? Worst case scenario.
Oh, that's that they lose another one and they're gone? That Charles Barkley's right?
Yeah, basically.
Well, if they go down 0-3, I mean, there's real panic at that point.
And then what will happen after they get eliminated, if AD walks away, will that be a...
Oh, my God.
Okay. Time out. Let's do this. Oscar, we'll answer that question on the other side. We'll do the doomsday scenario with Momo on the other side. We'll take more calls at 877-710-ESPN. Okay. Plus, we've got... Thank you, buddy. Appreciate the call. Then we've got some Kyle Kuzma stuff today from the media scrum that at least made me raise my eyebrow a little bit, kind of like, I don't know if that's what he should be saying. But maybe I'm just reading into stuff. All right, we'll get to some of that, plus what you need to know, all coming up here in just a second. Mama Momo hanging out on a Wednesday, and of course, it's Sedano and LZ. What you need to know here on the Sedano Show, here are your top headlines going on around the country in the world of sports. Number one, Oscar De La Hoya comes out of retirement. It has been reported the 47-year-old says after 12 years of sitting out, the 11-time titleist confirmed he's ready to end his retirement. He says the rumors are true. De La Hoya, who was 39-6 in his career with 30 KOs, will not be engaging in an exhibition fight, LZ Granderson, like Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. He says, quote, it's going to be a real fight. What do you make of Oscar De La Hoya returning to the ring?
Well, I was super excited. I text you guys right away. I immediately hit up Golden Boy, immediately hit up all my people at DAZN. trying to get Oscar to join us today, as a matter of fact. I just heard that that's in the works, so we got our fingers crossed for that. But I'm pumped. I am pumped because I just believe Oscar's got the bug because he's just been indoctrinated in this sport for so long. And he's looking around and going, you know what? I think I could still do some things in this sport. And I'm like, you know what? Go for it. Now, he was a little chubby. I'll be able to admit the last time I saw him, he's going to have to lose some weight. But you know, Oscar still got the hands. He still got the smile. And more importantly, he still got that confidence. So I'm pumped.
No. No. He's 47? No. Yeah. I mean, look, he can make a lot of money. I'm sure we can find someone for him to fight where no one's going to get hurt. But I don't want to see that. I don't need it. He quit on this duel against Pacquiao. That was 2008. That's so long ago. He's been out of the game so long. Do I believe he can get back in shape and put on a show? Yes. Do I want him fighting any kind of contender right now who's just sharp, fierce, and ferocious? No. You're 47, man. Enjoy your career. Enjoy it.
Think of him as just being like a boxy Chardet. You know, Chardet takes off a decade, and she comes back, and she doesn't miss a beat. So
she's
maybe
not getting hit in the face.
LZ, the difference is Chardet's not getting pounded in the face. Yeah, I think there's a pretty big difference there. Also, you know, look, Bernard Hopkins fought when he was 50 years old, but Bernard Hopkins was fighting constantly. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like he took a 12-year layoff. Look, I'll watch it because I'll watch anything. Pretty much when it comes to sports and combat sports particularly, I'll watch it. You know, I don't know how much of my money he'll get if it's a pay-per-view, but I would be intrigued by it, but I'm not like sitting there going, ooh, I was definitely looking forward to an Oscar De La Hoya comeback. Like,
look,
I'm
you know what
there.
Fight I would watch? You know what I would watch? I would watch him box Conor McGregor, okay? I would watch something like that. Like, are we going to do it? I don't
want to
watch
exhibition.
Yeah.
That's
all I need to see.
He doesn't want an exhibition. He wants a real fight. And he's got young guys who's been nipping at his heels, begging to get the big fights. And he's probably thinking, you can't get the big fight because I don't think you can beat me at 47.
Yeah. I'm sure he thinks that. Michael Jordan thought he could play in the NBA when he was 50. I know there was all these stories that Michael wanted to stay right at his playing weight because he kept thinking he was going to make a comeback even into his 50. You know, he's getting up there around 50. And then finally, when he crossed that threshold, 50 years old, he finally let it go. I remember that famous Wright Thompson story about Michael Jordan. He finally let that go and just said, I need to move on and be something else. And I know how hard that is for people, and especially when you see other people living that life, but it's got to be done. You're 40. Man, just,
it's over.
It's over. Don't get hurt.
It's over. You know what's not over? The Jazz and the Nuggets. The Jazz crushed the Denver Nuggets today. They probably should have had game one in regulation. Mm-hmm. Are we underselling the Jazz and overrating the Lakers? Momo, we'll start with you.
I think we've undersold the Jazz because we looked at that and said, oh, they don't have Bogdanovich. Mike Conley's out. He's quarantining the first couple. You know, he still got a quarantine after he left to go be there for the birth of his son. I think we were underestimated. But you know what? The Jazz wanted this matchup. The way they play and they kind of maneuvered things around just so they could get this matchup with Denver. This is the one they wanted. And you see why. I mean, they have it's a good matchup for them. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if this ends up going seven. I wouldn't be surprised if they win.
Yeah, I think we're undersold Donovan Mitchell, who I think is the second coming of Dwayne Wade. And this is his opportunity to kind of show and to shine. I don't think this is about, you know, whether or not the Denver Nuggets are a good team. I mean, Donovan Mitchell showed up and showed out game one, had a crucial error that likely cost him the game, but then bounced back with an even better shooting performance. He didn't score as many points, but 10 of 14 from the field, 6 of 7 from three. Come on, dog.
Listen, I'm a huge Donovan Mitchell fan, LZ, and I think he's fantastic. He's not only a fantastic player, I think he's a fantastic kid. I've got a chance to be around him a ton. I hesitate to compare him to Dwayne Wade, and I've done it in the past because now that I've seen his game, he's a much better shooter than Dwayne was, but he's nowhere near the athlete that Dwayne was at that stage of his career. So I'm a little hesitant to do the Dwayne Wade thing, even though I've done it myself, but I found myself kind of pushing back on that internally within myself. But you're right. He is here, and he is a cold-blooded killer, okay, on offense. There is no doubt about that. He didn't even have a great game today, but he was a good floor general, which I think is something that he's evolved into. He was not a natural passer. In college, people forget, he was a shooting guard, and he has been forced to handle the ball in the pros, and every year he's gotten a little better. Next, we move on to Lane Kiffin, our old friend Lane Kiffin. Last story for here on what you need to know before we get to Kyle Kuzma and his comments today in the media scrum. He says the Big Ten and the Pac-12 players, since they're not going to play, should be allowed to transfer. Huh. Okay. I wonder why Lane Kiffin thinks that, LZ Granderson.
That's so irresponsible. But what do we expect from him, right? He's an overgrown child, and he says childish things, and sometimes they're funny. Sometimes his trolling is downright hilarious, actually. But you shouldn't be trolling conferences trying to protect children, because these are still young men. These are still kids. This isn't the pros. They're 19, 20, 21-year-olds. I have a 23-year-old in the house right now, and let me tell you, he is not a grown-ass man yet. So I appreciate Lane having a wicked sense of humor. But this isn't something you want to troll about. This is something that we all need to be taking seriously, and not just people who play football.
Agreed. Oh, I don't think he's trolling. I think he's serious. I think he's like, they should be able to transfer, and they can come play for me.
Correct.
Because I'm in a conference that's still playing. And, I definitely thought this was going to be an issue for the conferences that shut down early. It's kind of hard to say that you shouldn't be allowed to transfer when they simply don't have football this fall. And I think it was the correct decision to shut down. I think the conferences that say they're going to play are not going to make it. I don't think we're going to be able to control this in the settings they're in. But some of the latest advances that we have seen in testing are starting to give me more hope. The testing the NBA participated in with Yale is a rapid test that gives you a shot. Fall, theoretically, there won't be student athletes mixing with other people on campus. It would just be them on, like, you would just have the football team there. So in a way, that's a little safer than in the spring when theoretically other people could be back. So I don't know. I mean, I think he's just trying to flex a little bit and say, hey, how about the best guys in the Big Ten and the Pac-12? Come on out, play for me now, because I play in a conference that's still playing.
Yeah, I think he just took over a program that had some success, but then went, had some issues, and now he's there, and he wants to get the best players he can. It's I think it's that, and I do think some of that with LZ, though, like, to your point, and we'll wrap it up on this because I want to get to the Kuz stuff. I do think that his history will make you believe what you said too, LZ. Like, I think you both can be right here. I think that's very much the case. All right, let's get to Kyle Kuzma. That is what you need to know. Kyle Kuzma today on his Zoom call with the media was asked about his role with the current Lakers squad as the Lakers drop game one to the Portland Trail Blazers. Here's the quote. "I just do whatever they ask me to do. That's my job. Starring in my role, playing with effort, playing with enthusiasm.
That's great.
If they call on me to start, obviously you guys seen what I've done. What I do. Just come in and try to be myself, play fun, and play free-spirited. Now, look, I have spent a lot of time of my career covering one LeBron Raymond James, who I believe is a 10th degree black belt in passive aggressive speak. I think young Kyle Kuzma has earned his first degree black belt in passive aggressive speak. What say you, LZ?
Listen, there are a couple things at play here. Number one, I would not be angry if, they decide, we need more offensive punch right out the gate. Let's set down Danny Green, put in Kuz, and see what that looks like. I wouldn't be angry if they did that. But here's my issue with the quote. I need you to do what you do, regardless of when they ask you to do it. Mm-hmm. I don't need you to tell me I'm going to do it if they ask me to start. No, you need to do it in practice. You need to do it and off the bench. And you need to do it when you start. George, you know this. I've been on the Kuz train since jump.
I think you and I did the first interview he had on the station together, you and I.
I think we did. I saw his game. I saw his confidence. I wanted to see it up close, so I went to a preseason game to watch him. And I said right then and there, that kid can ball. That kid can score. Since then, he's put up really good numbers, but I hadn't seen him get better, if that makes sense. His numbers increased on bad teams, but I didn't see him get better. And I understand where he's coming from confidence, but he has to understand, or someone needs to make him understand, that you ain't Jason Tatum, dog. You ain't caught him yet. You out there acting like you're on that level, and you're not yet. You're not there yet. You can be. I'm a little disappointed you don't appear to have worked on your handles during the quarantine. You're still insecure when a defender comes up. That's a little troublesome for me. But overall, I think he's a good offensive player who can help the Lakers. I just don't like his attitude about starting, specifically where he thinks he is as a player right now.
So, Momo, you and I have talked about this before, where he's in this weird spot, right, where he was he sees his contemporaries, right, getting opportunities that he's not. However, outside of Jason Tatum, the rest of his contemporaries are not on championship rosters, right? And you can make the case Jason Tatum is not even on a championship roster. But I think part of that bothers him, it feels like. And there has not been great chemistry, particularly with LeBron in his 2 years with the squad. And I think that all that stuff is kind of lingering in his head, because a lot of young guys are, you know, early on want to prove it, and they want to make money, and they want to get that next contract. And I think a lot of that stuff plays into this too. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's a part of me that thinks he would be better off if the Lakers traded him to a team where he could just go be the man, right? He is at that age and at that stage of his development where he wants that. He can do that. He wants to flex like that. And on this team, that's not what they need from him. And so in a way, the role he's in on the Lakers is holding back his development. And I feel that when I hear those words, when I hear that passive aggressiveness. But I also think that I've seen so many players in this league, especially young players. Kyrie Irving is a name that comes to mind. Okay. Mm-hmm. Talk like this, sound like this, want to be the man, want to be, you know, like, will talk their way off of a championship kind of team just so they can show out someplace else and be the leader. And I think most of them regret it later. I really do. And, you know, I generally think that no matter whether you're in our business, in the media, if you're a professional athlete, like, whatever you are, people are going to recognize it and give it to you. So you eat what you kill, okay? If you are good enough, if you're Jason Tatum, if you're playing at that level, they will have no choice but to start you. They will have no choice but to leave you out there. But if you're not doing it every single night, if you're not also developing defensively, where we have seen some development defensively, I think he's worked on that. I think he's done a good enough job at certain points where you go, okay, he has that in him. He just has to be more consistent with it. I think he can evolve into it. And I do think that he is capable of playing the role that they want him to be, you know, the Lakers want him to be and need him to be on a team with two of the best players. If he gets traded, if they ultimately go a different direction, I think both sides will live to regret it.
So let's go to the phones, because I got a lot of people that want to chime in on just everything, right? Everything we've discussed thus far through an hour and change that we've been on the air. Let's get to the phones. Let's talk to some of the people. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Because in the next segment, I got to ask, what's up with LeBron? There is a specific thing that LeBron keeps alluding to that we need to have a discussion about. But we'll get to that in a second. Let's go to Jay in LA first. Jay, what's up, man?
How are you guys? Thank you for taking my call. Appreciate it.
What's up, Jay?
I quickly make three Laker points. And hear
three.
What I have to say about it.
Okay.
Three Laker points. number one, KCP. So the whole game I was just screaming, take him out, take him out. The guy had 1 point, one assist, one rebound. I don't know if he was a minus, something really bad, whatever it was. And he was asked to guard Lillard a lot of the time. That didn't make a lot of sense to me, because if you put him in for offense and he's struggling and he has to take Damian Lillard, so just take him out then and bring in Caruso, who's a much better defender. So I think going forward, I think the Lakers should start Caruso. And number two, with LeBron, I feel like after the game, everyone was being like, oh, he had a historic night, passing, this, that. Enough of that. Guys can hit shots, go get buckets. I feel like he was playing scared. He didn't want to take dumb shots. I feel like Hassan Whiteside was intimidating him from going inside. Just go get buckets. You don't have to sit there trying to get assists. And just number three, just wondering how you guys think, how ticked off LeBron is now at Avery Bradley, who would be the perfect guy for this series because he's a great on-ball, you know, top-of-the-key defender, and also he's a pretty solid spot-up shooter. How ticked off LeBron is that he's
Jay, thank you for the call. You're breaking up a little there. So let me just kind of take those one by one here. I think your first point makes some sense. I was with you on KCP. He couldn't hit water if he fell off a boat, basically. I think that with LeBron, I think LZ kind of touched on it earlier. I think that LeBron is a thinking man's basketball player, and I think he's analyzing and he's like doing the Matrix thing as he's watching what the court looks like. And I think that he doesn't want to go in there and try to get offense, you know, go in there and bowl into the paint because he's going to pick up offensive fouls. I don't think it's that he's afraid of Whiteside. Hell, he did attack Whiteside one time, mm-hmm. who leveled him, put him on the ground, and thank you for the call, leveled him to the ground, and LeBron made the shot and, you know, did the flex after he did it.
Mm-hmm.
And then lastly, how mad is he? I don't know if he's mad. Like, I'm sure he'd rather have him than not, you know, but, you know, that's just it. LZ, what do you think?
I mean, listen, the thing with LeBron is that when you throw a Gary Trent Jr. on him and he has less than 45 points, it's because he chose not to have 45 points. You didn't throw someone in the back like a Hassan Whiteside or anyone else that deterred LeBron James from scoring buckets. He made a conscientious choice to get AD rolling. And AD made a conscientious choice to, instead of rolling, to pop. he wanted to shoot jumpers. And so he did, and they weren't falling, and that's that. You don't stop LeBron. You don't stop James Harden. You don't stop Dame. They have a bad night, but you're not stopping these great offensive players. You don't stop Steph. You don't stop KD. So this notion that Whiteside stopped LeBron or deterred LeBron, no. No, and no. LeBron chose.
Oh, you got anything to add?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think it's one game, but it's also a continuation of the eight games that we saw. And the eight games that we saw in the bubble were not good. And there was a couple of high moments. The first win over the Clippers was a high moment, but this team hasn't really looked that good since they've been back. And I think that's a function of just having a hard time getting it amped up, having a hard time catching your rhythm again. But this is where we find out if this team is truly a championship team. This is the playoffs. You have to find it. You have to make adjustments. You have, whether that's tweaking the starting lineup. I don't think we're at the place where they need to tweak the starting lineup. I think that Frank Vogel was trying to show loyalty because as a coach, there's certain players that can handle getting benched and certain players that cannot, that if you bench them now, you may lose them for the rest of the series.
Right.
Mentally. Yeah. I think that he is very cautious with that. And also, quite frankly, I think Rajon Rondo is going to help when he gets back because what the Lakers look like right now is disorganized. And, you know, LeBron can only do so much playing in that point guard role and trying to do everything. But they don't have another natural point guard out there until Rajon Rondo gets back. And I'm sorry, I'm the last resident of Rondo Island, but this is the point in the playoffs where you need him.
You're not the last resident. I'm with you. You're not the last resident.
Yeah, listen.
I've always been
there. I'm not a Rondo guy, but to your point, Momo, LeBron can't facilitate the entire time. He's never done that in his career. He needs someone to, as you pointed out, organize, to allow him to get off the ball a little bit and then create opportunities for himself that way, or get him someone to get him in the right positions to take advantage of the defense. So I'm with you on that. Let me go to Mark.
You know what?
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
You know what? It's like, you know what I want to see? The things the Lakers did all year long that were great. They were really good when LeBron posted up. They were really good when AD and LeBron ran a pick and roll. They were great in transition. Yeah. We didn't see that last night.
Correct. Correct. Mark in San Gabriel. Mark, I got a minute, buddy. Tell me about what's going on in San Gabriel. Are the folks mad about the Vincent Lugo Park about the Lakers game or what?
Yeah, we're pretty pissed off out here in San Gabriel. quick take. Tough championship, because then with the no home call.
Hey, real quick. Ball. Mark, are you on a speaker or something? Can you get on, like, the phone?
Yep. Give me.
Yeah, how there you go. Now? Thank you.
All right,
yes, sir.
Sorry about that. All right, so since this year in the bubble, it's baller versus baller. Toughest championship ever. Because there's no home court, just ballers on ballers.
Well, okay.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Okay.
I love that he's on speaker. Like, let me just put this on. You know, you could always tell when someone's on speaker, right? Like,
yeah. But you know what it is? He was probably on hold for a long time. And people, we appreciate people being on hold. We're going to try to get to as many calls as we can. Trust me. We will. We do want to talk to the people today. So Mama Momo's hanging out. Sedano and LZ coming up next. We'll take more of your calls. But LeBron needs to stop one particular thing. We'll get to that coming up in 90 seconds.